Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
I am Tom, and today we're going to continue talking about the book Thief. It's a pretty good book. I haven't read it myself, but hey, I'm inspired because we've been talking about it. Sounds like a good read, and maybe you ought to check it out, too.
Yeah, you know, it was on the bestsellers list for 5 years. That's the New York Times bestseller list.
Yep.
Which is highly rated. And so I think I have to look into this. I know it was made into a film, came out late last year. I don't know if it's been in Taiwan yet. You might want to check that out, the book Thief. It's got a lot of British actors in it, I noticed, and Australian actors as well.
That would be appropriate since the writer is an Aussie himself.
Yeah.
He's from down under there. But today, we're going to be talking about some of the themes of this book. Of course, books have more than just a story. Sometimes they're trying to tell us something, and it's a good idea to try to understand what some of those themes are so that you can get more enjoyment out of the book. So let's get to it, everybody. Let's read the entire content of today's lesson right now. The book Thief is filled with themes that deal with the darker aspects of life and human existence. By using death as the narrator of the tale, Zuzak is able to delve deeper into the ways that people come to grips with the fact that their lives aren't eternal. He also explores the responsibility that the living have to the deceased. Some people, such as Hans, are intent on repaying old debts by helping the families of people who once assisted them. Meanwhile, the wife of the mayor can't get over the grief of losing her son, and Liesl can't stop dreaming about her brother. In the end, the characters all come to realize that their biggest responsibility to the dead is to go on living their lives. Another important theme is the incredible power that words have. The characters of the novel read and write stories to build bonds with one another. Unfortunately, words aren't always used in a positive way, as it's also pointed out that Hitler's rise to power was fueled by his impassioned and persuasive speeches rather than military might. In the end, words and ideas are shown to be powerful forces that shape our world. Theft also frequently appears throughout the novel. In the beginning, Liesl steals random items that are unattended, such as fruits and vegetables, or the book the gravedigger accidentally drops. Later, the items she takes seem to have more meaning. Zuzak doesn't portray stealing as a criminal act, as characters take things that are necessary for their survival and development, such as food or knowledge. For Liesl and the novel's characters, stealing is the only way they can take back some control in a world that they seem powerless to change.
Let's talk about the book Thief. In today's lesson, we're going to talk about the themes in the book Thief. You know, what it deals with. Most authors, when they write their stories, often have some themes in the back of their mind. Kind of what their writing is about. It could be a subject or maybe what they really want to focus on. So what are the themes in the book Thief? Well, it's filled with themes that deal with the darker aspects of life and human existence. Darker here doesn't mean that there's no light. It just means kind of the sadder aspects. When you talk about darker things, it's usually death, and maybe accidents, illness, things that aren't very happy, you could say. An aspect of life. Aspect is a word we use just to talk about a particular point or feature of something. If you have a report, you might have different aspects that you're reporting on. Maybe you are reporting on the marketing aspect, the financial aspect, different parts of your report. So it's a specific thing that they're focused on. So what are the darker aspects of life? I just mentioned a couple. Death, illness, those are sad things. Human existence is also one of the themes in the book. Existence just means the fact of being alive, you're living. So we're talking about how people live and what we go through while we're alive.
Yeah, so some of those darker aspects of life might be the fact that we all have to die, that people are cruel to each other, that we really don't care about anybody except ourselves.
Oh.
Those are darker things of
life. Selfishness, huh?
Exactly. Sometimes there are nice things about life, too. People can be generous and kind and stuff like that. But we can't forget about these darker aspects. And by using death as the narrator of the tale, Zusak is able to delve deeper into the ways that people come to grips with the fact that their lives aren't eternal. Now, why do we have death as the narrator of the tale? Why don't we have life as the narrator of the tale? But he uses death as the narrator for a reason, which we'll get into. But first of all, let's talk about the word narrator. That's a noun. It just talks about a person who narrates something, who tells a story, who lets you know what is happening. And a narrator, of course, is the person. To narrate is the verb.
That's right. Well, he's able to delve deeper into the ways that people come to grips with the fact that, you know what? Our lives aren't eternal. We don't live forever. If you delve into something, you kind of go deeply into something. You're trying to learn as much as you can about some sort of topic. You might do some research to find out more about something or make some inquiries into something so you understand something a little bit more. You can also use it literally and just mean you reach inside something to grab something. You can delve into your pocket. But typically we use it just to talk about to dig deeply into a topic for more information or into a subject. Here we're delving deeper into the ways that people come to grips with the fact that they don't live forever. When you come to grips with something, that's a phrase we use to mean you understand it and accept it. Some people like to ignore the sad things of life or the difficulties they have to face. I had a friend who lost her job, and she just couldn't come to grips with the fact that she needed to find a new one. She just sat at home and didn't want to think about what the future was.
Wow.
So sometimes you have to come to grips. You have to understand something and accept it and move on, move forward.
And this is a harsh reality of life. Our lives aren't eternal.
Yeah.
We all have to die someday. And that's kind of a fact that a lot of people have trouble coming to grips with. My goodness, are we really going to die and that's it? Some people come to grips with it by saying, oh, no problem, we'll die, we'll go to heaven, we'll be okay, etc., etc. There are different ways people kind of handle this harsh reality. He also explores the responsibility that the living have to the deceased. Responsibility, of course, is how you're supposed to deal with something, especially if you're supposed to be responsible to that thing. You're supposed to be a leader, and you are supposed to do these things, and if you don't do it, that other person is going to suffer because of that. As a parent, you have responsibility to your children. Well, he says that the responsibility of the living is to the deceased. We have to do things for dead people. The deceased, that just refers to people who are dead.
Yeah, what do we owe or what is our obligation to those who have passed away? He talks about this in the book. Well, some people, like Hans, are intent on repaying old debts by helping the families of people who once assisted them. Oh, that's not a bad thing at all. If you have a debt to someone, it means you owe them some sort of payment or favor because they did something for you before, earlier. If you have a lot of debt without an S on it, it means you've borrowed a lot of money. Maybe you have a credit card and you've used it too much to go shopping. And you have a lot of debt, money that you must repay to a company or a bank. But debts can also be favors that you feel like you owe someone because they helped you in the past. So he wanted to repay old debts by helping the families of people who once assisted them. If you assist someone, just another word to say you're helping someone, to help, to assist.
Exactly. He wants to repay those debts. He feels he owes them something and he wants to make sure they get what they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, Hans was the foster father.
Yeah.
And they were adopted, remember, they all lived in Munich there. And meanwhile, at the same time, we've got the wife of the mayor. Remember Elisa there? Is that her name?
Liesel,
I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
She actually stole a book from her library, or took one there. And so she's the wife of the mayor, and she can't get over the grief of losing her son. So she lost her son. Her son died. Maybe he was a soldier and got sent to a battle and got killed. To get over something means that you're able to deal with a loss of something and get on with your life. Maybe the first time you broke up with your boyfriend or girlfriend, it was very difficult to get over it. You were depressed for a long time. You were heartbroken. How can I go on living without him? He was my everything. Now what am I going to do? So it's very difficult to get over something and move on with your life. Grief, of course, is great sadness you feel because you've lost something or someone.
Usually it has to do with death and the sadness you feel over someone's death or someone having passed away. Liesel also can't stop dreaming about her brother. Remember her brother, Werner? He died on the way to live with the foster parents, and she's very, very sad about that. And so sometimes, even though during the day we might not think about something that's bothering us, at night it seems like our dreams, sometimes things that are bothering us come up in our dreams. I've noticed that in myself.
Sure.
I think I'm okay, and then I'll dream about it, and I'll think, oh, obviously I'm not okay yet.
Uh-oh.
Well, in the end of the book, the characters all come to realize that their biggest responsibility to the dead is to go on living their lives. You know, I think about this sometimes, and I think, my mother passed away last year, and I think, you know, I could be sad all the time, but I know my mom would want me to be happy. So sometimes our biggest responsibility to those that have passed away is to be happy and to go on living our lives. To go on living your life means not to just stop and keep thinking about the sad things that have happened to you, but actually move on and find some happiness.
Indeed, if I were to die tomorrow, I'd certainly want my family to continue to be happy. Yeah, they need to be sad for a while, but hey, snap out of it and move on with your life. Go on living, and that's our responsibility, is to go on living. That's the responsibility the living have to the dead.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that brings us to the end of the first part of our lesson for today. Here's our Chinese teacher.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 今天我们要来看 The Book Thief 所要传达的三个重要的主题。首先第一个呢，在第一个句子后面有提到 The darker aspects of life and human existence。所要谈的第一个主题呢，就是人生跟人类存在中一些比较黑暗的一面。Aspect 指的是一种方面跟角度，像是我们要通盘的去考量一个问题，就可以说 consider a question in all its aspects。而呢，在这些人生比较阴暗的层面，那么他在这里就借由死神的角色来开始说故事。所以下一句就提到 By using death as the narrator of the tale, Zuzak is able to delve deeper into the ways that people come to grips with the fact that their lives aren't eternal.借由死神来叙述故事，作者呢就可以进一步的探究，事实上每一个人都要理解到一个问题跟事实的存在。这个事实的内容就是 Their lives aren't eternal， 没有人呢他的生命是永恒的。我们来看一下这个句子当中的动词Delve into， 其实就是有调查跟探究的意思。另外一个动词片语 come to grips with， 就是有认真的去处理某个问题。A grip 则是有一种理解跟控制的意思。第一段还提到了 He also explores the responsibility that the living have to the deceased。 在这里呢，在 that 开始一直到 have 是用来修饰 responsibility。 作者所探讨的呢，也就是要告诉他的读者，事实上活着的人对死去的人拥有的责任到底是什么。第一段的最后一句， In the end, the characters all come to realize that their biggest responsibility to the dead is to go on living their lives. 到了故事的最后，事实上所有的角色呢，最终要了解的是，相对于这些已故的人来说，他们最大的责任就是要 go on living their lives， 在持续继续过自己的人生。
Stay tuned, we're going to take a short break, but we'll be right back.
Okay, let's continue to talk about the themes in The Book Thief.We talked about a couple there, the darker aspects of life and the responsibility that the living have to the deceased. If people die, you need to keep on living not only for yourself, but for the dead as well. Now, another important theme in The Book Thief is the incredible power that words have. We may not realize this, but words have power.They have incredible power. Incredible means it's very, very difficult to believe. It's really, really fantastic. So fantastic that you almost just can't believe it. That's incredible. How did you do that? How did Jeremy Lin score so many points in that game? He's incredible. Lin-credible, I should say.
Lin-credible. Lin-sanity was another popular headline.He's fun. Now, the characters of the novel read and write stories to build bonds with one another. If you build a bond with someone, it means you have some sort of special tie with them. If you have a bond with a friend, it just means you have some sort of closeness that you share. A lot of times you can build bonds with friends by doing things together or by going through similar experiences.And that's what the characters of this novel do. They read and write stories to build bonds with one another.
Unfortunately, words aren't always used in a positive way. That's true. Sometimes people use words in a negative way. As it's also pointed out, or because it's pointed out, that Hitler's rise to power was fueled by his impassioned and persuasive speeches rather than military might.Although the Nazis had some incredible military might afterwards, but at the beginning, the Nazi party were kind of a joke in Germany. Nobody took them seriously, but hey, this guy had great speaking ability. So his rise to power was fueled by his speeches here. Rise just means when something goes up, the rise of something, the rise of inflation, the rise of communism in China, for example, and how that affected history.Fuel here is a verb. Fuel can be a noun, like gasoline is fuel, or uranium is a nuclear fuel for a nuclear reactor. But here it's being used as a verb. That just means it provided the fuel, the power, or the energy for something.
Yeah, we're describing his words or his speeches. He loved to give speeches as being impassioned. If someone is giving impassioned speeches, they're filled with passion.Or he's showing a lot of emotion as he speaks. He used to kind of scream all his speeches. If you've seen old videos or movies of Hitler himself, and there are some that still exist, you can see he got very excited when he'd give his speeches. It also says he was persuasive. He was persuasive to some, not to everyone in Germany, but he did persuade a lot of people. If you're good at persuading people, you're good at getting them to believe what you believe. A lot of times you use reasoning or maybe you tempt them with things. He was very good at getting people to believe what he thought was right.
Right, and I guess for most people, you had to agree with him or you were going to be in big trouble. You'd get beheaded, actually. in some cases. And, yeah, later on they had military might or military power.
Strength,
exactly. Uh-huh. They had the Stukas and the Luftwaffe and all that stuff.
Oh, I wanted to mention here, might is not usually used as a noun, but here it's a noun, mm-hmm. which you don't see very often. It just means strength.
It does.
Power.
And in the end, words and ideas are shown to be powerful forces that shape our world. So in the end of Nazi Germany and in the end of this novel, we learn that, hey, words can be very powerful forces. If you say the right things to the right people at the right time, you can be a king. You can be a leader. So everybody make sure you work on your elocution skills or your speaking skills.
Yeah, so words and ideas are powerful. Now, here in the next paragraph, we talk about how theft also frequently appears throughout the novel. Theft is actually a noun. It's the action of stealing. It's the crime of stealing. So if you steal things, you're committing theft. It also frequently appears throughout the novel. Remember, Liesl steals lots of things. She's the book thief. Well, she steals random items. That are unattended. If it's random, it means it's not really something she chose in advance. Seems like she just kind of picked it without thinking things through. It wasn't a conscious decision. Kind of strange that she would just pick up random things. But then you see that these things were unattended. If something's unattended, it means no one's watching them. You'll frequently hear announcements in America if you're at the airport. They'll say unattended vehicles will be towed, which means if you're not in your car and you park at the airport by the doors where you can let passengers off, if you step out of your car, the police will come and take your car away.
Right, so she stole things at random. Random uh-huh. just means anything, you know. There's no particular order or reason.
No.
Hey, there's some bananas over there. I'm just going to take them. Hey, there are some carrots over there. Let me take those, too. Hey, that gravedigger there just dropped that book. I think I'll take it. I'm not really interested in being a gravedigger, but you never know. So, yes, the gravedigger accidentally drops that book.
Uh-huh.
If you do something accidentally, that means you did not mean to do that.
No.
And sometimes it can cause problems. But, yeah, he accidentally drops that book. Maybe he doesn't need it anymore because mm-hmm. he already knows his craft well enough. And she said, hey, I'm taking that book. If I don't read it, maybe I can sell it for scrap paper.
Yeah, or burn it in her fireplace if she needs some...
For a little warmth or something.
Yeah, she needs to get some warmth in her home. It says here that later those items seem to have more meaning. So as you read through the book, suddenly you can see reasons why she may have picked those things. Susak, the author, doesn't portray stealing as a criminal act. So it doesn't really feel like she's breaking the law as she steals things, but we know it's wrong, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you portray something, it just means that's the way you write about it. You can portray somebody in a movie or in a play if you're an actor. You pretend you're that person. Here we're talking about a writer who uses words to describe something in a particular way, and he just doesn't give us the idea that stealing's really bad.
Right, and as you said, we know that you're not supposed to be doing that,
no.
But this was during war, and perhaps sometimes these rules can be bent a little bit, if not broken,
mm-hmm.
especially if you need to survive. And so, yes, they steal these things because they're necessary for their survival and their development, such as food or knowledge. Yeah, stealing books is like stealing knowledge. And for Liesl and the novel's characters, stealing is the only way they can take back some control in a world that they seem powerless to change.
Mm.
Yes, if I were in their situation myself, I'd probably consider being a little less moral about some things. I hope I don't have to kill somebody, but hey, if I were starving and there were a bunch of apples over there, I'd certainly help myself.
Yeah, we see things like this happen when people are in really difficult situations where they're very poor. Maybe they don't have enough money. And they kind of take things they shouldn't. I've heard about kids who are adopted or who are in foster homes who sometimes steal things to feel like they have more power or control in their lives.
Okay.
So this makes sense, actually. Yeah.
It does. So, hey, make sense out of some things in your own life by checking out this book and reading it. And, hey, we recommend it because it's been made into a movie, and it's probably not that difficult to read, and you'll be able to understand a lot more and learn a lot. So that brings us to the end of our lesson, but our Chinese teacher would like to add a few things to what we've already said, so let's listen.
第二个，这本书想要探讨的主题就在第二段的第一句后面提到 The incredible power that words have， 文字所拥有的不可思议的力量。第二段的中间提到 Unfortunately, words aren't always used in a positive way, as it's also pointed out that Hitler's rise to power was fueled by his impassioned and persuasive speeches rather than military might. 不幸的呢，在这本书里面所呈现的文字并不是被用在一个正面的地方，因为小说指出了希特勒权力的崛起 rise to power， 正是因为呢他那慷慨激昂又具有说服力的演说。在这里我们用了两个形容词 impassioned 代表的是充满热情的，persuasive 则是代表着具有说服力的，他用的正是演说当中文字的力量 rather than 而不是军事的力量。第三个，他所要探讨的主题就是 theft 偷窃这样子的一个想法。第三段的第二个句子提到 In the beginning, Lizzo steals random itemsThat are unattended. 其实刚开始的时候 Lizzo 他所偷的东西呢，其实就是没有人在看管的一些物品，而且是随机的。 Random 这个字则是有随机的、任意的意思，像是随便的去挑选某个东西，你就可以说 make a random choice。 而如果搭配介系词At random 就是代表着任意地、随便地的意思。这些物品呢，其实都是没有人照料、没有人看管的，我们则是用 unattended。 我们常常说 Don't leave your suitcase unattended at the station， 代表着就是在火车站不可以不注意自己的手提箱。后面继续提到 Zuzak doesn't portray stealing as a criminal act, as characters take things that are necessary for their survival and development, such as food or knowledge. 事实上呢，作者并没有把偷窃这样的行为描绘成是一种呢犯罪的行为。首先我们来看一下 portray 这里的动词，正是有描写、描绘，搭配 as 把它描写成为怎么样。为什么他会这么认为呢？因为 characters take things， 他所拿的东西事实上对他的生存以及发展都是相当有必要的，所以作者并不把偷窃视为是一种犯罪的行为。
That's all the time we have for today, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us, and make sure you join us again next time for our program. It'll be great to see you then. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.